AM 560, The Answer. Prepare to have your mind opened. The lies of the mainstream media are about to be exposed, and the hypocrisy of the left is about to be revealed. You've tuned into Black and Right. This is a revolution in how you think about politics, race, and culture. And leading that revolution are your hosts, Charles Love and John Anthony.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Black and Right. I am Charles, and John is off today. I want to quickly address that because I know we've been having some crazy schedules and some back and forth. I don't want to lose any of the people. I appreciate you listening and don't want you to think that we're going anywhere. But, you know, there's a lot of things that go into putting a show together. We had a lot of conversations back and forth, doing some demos, seeing if John and I fit. And by the time this rocket ship took off, you know, sometimes you had obligations that were already there. So that's the reason why you hear and see one of us and not the other sometimes. I went on vacation a few weeks ago. John has some things he already had in the works. We have holidays coming up. But rest assured, we're still going. I hope you all still stick with us. And we've also had the issues with being preempted, football on the back end and paid advertising on the front end. But rest assured, starting in December, we're 2 hours, still doing Facebook Live if you like looking at us. But we're also going to be back on the air on terrestrial radio from 1 to 3 going forward, so you can catch us there. I am fortunate enough to have a guest. I know John had a couple guests when I was out, but he's going to be envious because I got a local star in the conservative circles. My guest host today is Stephanie Trussell. You all will know her from her 5 years on WLS.
He keeps saying five. He knows it's 7 years. It's the biblical completion, seven.
I just like to get her to say it. Yeah, so 7 years on WLS and currently a regular recurring host on the 5 o'clock drive time show Monday through Friday. She was on Thursday and Friday, be on again on Monday. Yeah. Stephanie, welcome.
Oh, but it's such a pleasure. Again, so happy to have you as a co-host sometimes, and you were a guest, and I'm glad I was nice to you back when I had a show. Now that I don't have a show, it's nice that you're paying it back by allowing me to come in and fill in today. And again, I don't know if I'm black or right. Which one am I today?
We'll trade off on the hour. Oh, right,
okay,
now,
okay.
This hour, I'm right and you're black.
Oh, okay.
We'll see what happens next hour. So if you've been listening, those of you who are watching us live on Facebook now, you know a lot of our shows have been like themes. We talk about a topic and kind of spend more time dragging that out. I like doing that mostly because a lot of you are news junkies and you listen to all the shows here. You listen to, like, so if you listen to Stephanie Thursday and Friday and you listen to Dan and Amy in the morning, you've heard a lot of the topics, right? So you're like, oh my God, I like the guy, but why do I want to listen to him talk about the same thing?
Well, you know, they haven't heard what you think about.
Right. So I try to bring a different angle for one, but also I say, well, if we have more time and the segments are a little different, so maybe I can draw things out and go through a topic a little more, you know, because you're doing, when you drive time, you have to do the topical news of the day.
Right.
Right. So you change every day. So we like to settle in a little bit more on the weekend. But since I've been gone for a few weeks, we're going to do a rapid kind of a different show here, kind of like what you do during the week, but on one day. So we're going to do a hot topic smorgasbord. So we're going to talk about a little of everything. We're going to go over the impeachment debates. We're going to talk about Kaepernick, Kanye, Baltimore's former mayor, the crazy thing that happened in Goshen, Indiana. Some of the stuff you probably know about and some not.
We have to remember you're from Indiana, so you probably get your news directly from Indiana. They just send it to natives right away.
They put it in a box and they ship it to me.
Right, they're like, what's going on? So, hey, I'm excited, and it's so good to be in the Ed McMahon seat. I showed up with just one tiny bag and my headphones. I usually have so much luggage with all the preparation and stuff, so I'm just here.
Yeah, I've seen a wheel in the car.
To make Johnny Carson look good, I'm just going to laugh when you tell me to laugh.
And, hey-o! You know, right, am I going to get some of that?
Right, exactly. So I'm just like, it's good to be on this side of the room. It's different. The lighting's a little different over here. Everything's different. And so, no, this is a great, it worked out because I needed to pick up some stuff from Sam's. So on my way home, I can hit the Sam's because they closed all the ones by me. So this is a great opportunity to come up here and hang out on a Saturday.
Well, I'm hoping that we get some new listeners, Stephanie Sycophants will listen to Black and Right and say, hey, they're cool. And then maybe, you know, six or seven of our listeners will find out who you are and they'll say, I listen to 5 o'clock.
I never heard of her.
So, right. So the only thing I need to give you a note that I didn't mention before is when we do Facebook Live, we don't do the normal breaks. So
we can just talk.
That clock says 5 o'clock
for me.
We got 20 minutes to keep going.
My gosh.
We're good.
I can talk, you know. So.
We'll get a thumbs up when it's time. We'll be good. So
okay. So we're
able to talk a little longer, which is good because we're both kind of long-winded.
And this is, again, my first time on a Saturday, so much quieter here. Back in the old days on the other station, I would always be there on a Saturday and never got the hoopla. So this is different now. This is more, it's calm and it's relaxing and this is great. So
yeah.
Again, it's just a different day, a different time. But again, I'm ready for all
you ready
your
to get
topics.
In? All right.
I'm
let's
ready.
Get in.
Yeah,
so
I need a buzzer. You
give
know,
us like, a call. Because we're on Facebook Live does not mean you can't call us. Give us a call, 312-642-5600. And we're going to go through some of these topics. So you might hold if I'm on a different one, but we're going to talk all those things I mentioned, debate, Kanye, Kaepernick, but we're going to open with impeachment.
Okay.
So, obviously, there have been 5 days of hearings and all this stuff back and forth. And, again, like I said, most of you have been caught up on this stuff. I don't listen to the day-to-day all hours because it's too much of a circus.
I think for some people it is turning into white noise. They're
right.
Just like, what is it today?
But
right.
It is obviously important, right? It's a big deal.
They spend a lot of money on it and a lot of time.
Yeah,
so.
And then, you know, if it goes through, which it probably will, Trump's going to have that little asterisk next to his name, right?
If it goes to the Senate?
No, I mean, even if it, no, it doesn't matter, right?
Oh, really?
So let's look at the precedent, right? Now, let's talk about that.
See.
So we've only had, you go through all the presidencies, you've had, and everybody says Nixon, but Nixon never got there because he quit, right? He resigned.
And that's what they're hoping. But
so you got Trump, I mean, you got, well, let's take Trump out. It's in the middle of, right, because it's in the middle of. The hearings. I mean, they've actually talked about doing it. So you've got Clinton.
Technically this
oh, that's
hearings,
right. It's just the inquiry before
these
the vote.
Are not even the hearings. So this is all
true.
Unprecedented. This is
right.
All because I listened to Mark Levin, and he's a brilliant leader.
The great
of mine.
One.
The great one. And he says this is never been done before. What is this? How do we describe it? It's not technically the same process that the other
presidents. It's the pre process.
Yeah, right. So,
but you got Andrew Johnson and you got Clinton, right? No president has ever been removed from office. Right. They were both impeached in the House, not and went to trial in the Senate for Johnson. He was acquitted by one vote. He was one vote away of being removed. Right. So if you look at that, but let's look at why. So for Johnson, you know, for those of you who didn't bother to focus on the history of it, Johnson was accused of violating a congressional act.
Okay.
He wanted to fire a guy who was in his cabinet, but was working in kind of like Trump. Right. It was like. The deep state, in a sense, the early deep state.
Okay.
There was a guy who was a cabinet member who was, I believe he was the Secretary of War, and he was not working with the administration. He's like, this guy's got to go.
Okay.
And Congress had passed an act saying that he couldn't remove him without them. And he's like, this dude is out of line. He's out of here. So I'm trying to fire him. That's the whole reason. Now,
right.
Keep in mind, Johnson is probably one of the two or three worst presidents of all time.
Was he the one that took back the 40 acres and the mule? Because we got it, and
in
he gave
sense.
It his right. Okay,
Lincoln died, and all that went out
he
the window.
Like, nope. Okay.
But let's just only look at, let's not look at his presidency. Let's look at only this reason. He was being impeached for trying to remove somebody that Congress passed an act saying he couldn't remove. Side note, later on, it was deemed invalid that Congress passed that act. But at the time it was. So that's why they wanted him removed. Then you go to Clinton. Well, even let's go to Nixon, even though it never went to impeachment. Nixon was caught on tape from White House tapes doing something against the law. Clinton, we all know Clinton, it was partially political, but he never would have been in that boat regardless of what he done had he not under oath lied.
Right.
That is a very specific
vote,
thing.
Right.
Democrats
voted,
but it was still mostly.
Well. Right.
But it's different because he's under oath and he lied. So
right.
It's clear cut. So now Trump's thing is we have a call. It's all about a call, but they're saying it's the interpretations of what he said on the call.
Okay.
So that's where the problem lies there. And so we have to ask yourself, is what he did illegal? If it is, does it, everything illegal doesn't necessarily rise to the level of impeachment.
Okay.
But like I said, I wanted to take a different look at it. So what I look at it and say, maybe you can help me out. You're one of the gung-ho GOP people. You know, we did the summit. I got booed for being a former Never Trumper, not saying I'm a Republican. But I'm an honest, logical person. So one of the arguments I do when I argue with the left is I always say, give them their argument. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's be honest. So we know. So it's not like I'm doing it. I love defending Trump. But let's be honest. So everything you do to break the law doesn't necessarily rise to that level.
Right.
But let's assume it does.
Mm-hmm.
Give them their argument. So what he did is illegal and he should be removed. if that's the case, and this is why I don't understand about the Republicans. So the Republicans, they may shift, but it may be too late. They should have started with this argument. They're starting with, he didn't do anything wrong. There was no quid pro quo. Now they're going to shift at some point probably to, well, even if he did this, why didn't they just say, all right, I'm going to give you your argument, Schiff. He quid pro quotas.
Okay.
So you want him gone. Mm-hmm. But you're okay. You want Biden to be the front runner, and he's literally on tape saying, right, yeah, that guy wanted aid that Obama promised.
You don't need any pre hearings. He admitted it on tape.
He's bragging about it. They said they wanted that stuff that Obama promised them, and I said, I'll give it to you if you fire the guy that's investigating.
Right.
But he's not the only one. If that's the case, you know me, wasn't a Trumper, lock Trump up, impeach him.
Okay.
All I want you to do is go after Biden, Obama. I want you to go back and go after Tyler, Washington, Nixon. I want them all gone.
Right.
Reagan, everybody. Because my point is this is business as usual,
this is how they do business. Exactly. We're going to give them something for nothing just in general. Now, I know people will say, he is a political opponent, him asking. And I hate when the left of center people regurgitate this information. They'll say he was told to dig up dirt on Joe and his son. No, he wasn't. He said there was issues. It wasn't or to plant or to make up things that they had done wrong. No, there.
He said dig up the dirt and they were in it.
Right. Right. So it's not like they were trying to frame these innocent people. We have Hunter on tape saying, I don't know why they gave me this job. I don't know nothing about, energy. So we already got that. And I keep thinking about that baby mama drama, how that woman, cha-ching, you are the father. So she gets, he got $83,000 a month. You do the child support math. That's 20% for the first one. So $16,000 a month. That's $199,000 a year to have unprotected sex, whatever. Just imagine had that been one of the Trump kids. I don't even want to talk about it. But so we know, but that's what hit me because I had a caller during the week and he's just a Democrat and just, blah, 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 blah. And then during the break, it hit me. I said, we got to stop pretending that we're not working with two sets of rules.
Yeah.
Democrats can wear blackface. They can, do whatever they want, and nobody's going to hold them accountable for it. We have to, operate on a different set of rules, a different set of guidelines, and they sift us. They give us the Sarah Palin sifting treatment because we know what Joe did. He's bragging about it on tape.
That's why you got to be the GOP has to be strong about it because if you do this and you just soft with it, they're going to say, so you're gonna just ignore and be okay with the bad he did because somebody else did it. No, that's not the point.
Right.
This isn't a parent with two kids saying who did it first. This is the law. I'm willing to play by the rules. If you're saying what Trump did is wrong, that's fine. But then I need you to admit that Obama giving money to Iran to release hostages is the same thing. So then my question is it just quid pro quo that's wrong? Or is it only when it's a foreign government? Because Nixon went to Earl Warren, who was the governor of California, and said, look, you get me the state of California, you're on the Supreme Court. Isn't that quid pro quo?
That's just, we're from Chicagoland. We know this is just called a slow Tuesday. This is what you get in exchange for that. And that's just horse trading in that business. You're a leader of the free world. And Trump has been saying, why are we giving all this money? What about these other countries? And why would you give money to somebody that has a record of this country of being corrupt? And he's just making sure that, hey, you messing around. You're hanging out with these bad players from before. I want to make sure you're going to do whatever. Hey, do me a favor. Now, the fact that they keep saying, well, that was a political opponent. Really? Is Joe really a political opponent? He's not going to get the nomination.
You make another good point. Okay. The other argument is, it's wrong. Wrong is wrong. But the difference is that it was political.
Right.
The example I gave of Nixon and Warren was political. But beyond that, you got to go back old school. So John Tyler, we had a dispute with the border with Canada.
Okay.
Argument with Britain up in Maine. And he wanted to shift public opinion. You got to look this up. Like, John Tyler is an interesting dude. Horrible president. It's an interesting dude. Check this out. So he wanted to shift public opinion. So he took funds from a contingency fund and used it to send secret agents up there to use propaganda to shift the political climate there. Now you say, well, he was the 10th president. That was 1840-something. It doesn't matter because Washington, the unanimous president, Madison, they all did it. Do you know that there was actually a slush fund, right? It was called the Secret Service Contingency Fund from Washington
on up until the early 1900s.
Really?
That the money was there for them to just influence political stuff.
Whatever you need, it
was a bag. You know, it's people in Chicago talk about who's got the bag.
Who's got the bag.
That's
right.
What we did. So my point is simply that it's always done. You say I go back too far. I can go back to Reagan. Mm-hmm. I can't give you guns directly, but what I can do is X, Y, Z. I can go to Kennedy and Nikita Khrushchev. It's just what we do. If you don't like it, that's problem. And then don't go in the kitchen when the sausage is being made.
Right,
but you can't just say it's business as usual, because keep in mind, it's not you and me. Mm-hmm. These are ambassadors and politicals who know that this is what's going on that's up in arms. So what they're saying is, I worked with Reagan when he did it. I worked with Bush when he did it. You worked with Clinton when he did it. But now we hate Trump so much, we're going to all get together and say Trump doesn't get to do it, right? Talk about the same thing with the quid pro quo.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's called bribery now.
Right, and political, okay, bribery and political influence. Do you know, I wonder how many people know that Obama held up ambassadorships and gave them to his donors.
And that's so interesting.
Is that political?
Is that
quid pro quo?
When they bring out the former ambassador and she's so upset that Trump fired her or really reassigned her, didn't Obama fire them all? He came in, it was okay. And that's, you're allowed to do that. My biggest problem with Trump is that he hasn't fired enough people. I know in the beginning you can't just fire everybody day one, but he's got a lot of people that he shouldn't be trusting. And why does he have his kids around? Because those are the people that he can trust. And so when we think about, what you said about Obama, he was allowed to do whatever he wanted to do. And somebody made a comment about the ambassador, that the only reason he got that job is because he was a donor. But that's
like
how it works.
It was like six of them. Yeah.
That's how it works. You got enough money.
And if you all think that we're conservatives and we're just covering for him, Google it. I mean, you can go anywhere. And it's like, you go to
Bing
2010. Right. You go to 2010 and it's like Obama gave top donor jobs.
Right.
And it's like on the heel and on USA Today. It's not like it's on
Breitbart.
Bragging.
Yeah, isn't he amazing?
But here's another thing. I love this and you'll like this. So where did this all start from, right? The reason Trump wanted to investigate the corruption and the reason they had the Mueller report, all that stuff, the genesis of all that was election meddling, right? Mm-hmm. The Russians and the Ukrainians, it's wrong. They meddle with our election. It's so bad. It shocks the foundation of our republic, right? Am I right?
Right.
How many of the people on the left know that Barack Obama tried to keep Benjamin Netanyahu from winning and he meddled with Israel's election?
He meddled with Israel and that was okay because everything he did
is
savvy.
So everything he did is okay.
He's savvy and he's cool and he's brilliant.
But the funny thing is I become a crazy right-wing nut job, a Trumper, just because I'm pointing out facts. It has nothing to do with Trump.
Right.
Just like I said about John Tyler, next to Woodrow Wilson, he is my least, and Andrew Johnson. Those are the three worst presidents in my eyes. However, I don't think you get to impeach the guy because he's trying to fire a guy who's trying to corrupt his administration. Right. And then 5 years later, the Supreme Court's like, yeah, you couldn't have passed that law anyway. The law was unconstitutional. That is why they were removing him. It's not because he was horrible. I talk about Wilson. Wilson did the same thing. He blackmailed people. He made up phony stories to get us into war. Right. He was the precursor of so-called Bush. Right. So this is what people do. It's what politicians do.
This is how it works.
It's what happens.
The United States.
It's never going to change.
Right.
You can pass all the laws you want. It's not going to change.
Right.
So I just wonder why you were right. Why Trump and Republicans get different sets of rules than everyone else.
And on the way home, when I get to fill in on the afternoon drive, listening to Larry Elder, he's amazing. He's funny. And one of the promos for his show, he said, so all these people listening on the call, we got one guy that had an issue with it. And then all of this stuff starts. Everybody's listening to it, whatever, no big deal. But one person in their opinion, and it's so subjective to what somebody I thought. And that's what a lot of these 5 days, and I applaud anybody whose life is laid out such that they could follow every moment of that thing. And I promised that I would, but I couldn't do it. Because this is what, the third or fourth time they told us this is it. He's not worthy. We're going to get this guy out of office. And it was just, and the first couple witnesses had never even met Trump. Didn't know him from Adam. And all of a sudden we're listening to what they think and what they care and their perception. This is such a waste of time. They are not doing what needs to be done in the will of the people and all that other stuff. But then sometimes I think if they're not busy making more laws, that's not so bad. I know there are a couple of things that we
that's
need.
That's true.
we, you know, we need to get the trade deal done. A couple things we need to get done. But, you know, that's why I call Trump the whipping nay-nay president. He whipped nay-nay. They're trying to prevent him from doing whatever he's got, but he's getting it done. He's going to get that wall built one way or another, and he's doing what he's what he promised to do during the campaign. The economy is doing good, and I know some people are going to say, it's a pumped-up economy, whatever.
No, we're going to talk about that.
And so, I mean, I just applaud him. Just imagine what he could do if he didn't have to spend so much time focusing on defending himself. And again, last time Trump ran on sizzle, right? Because he didn't have anything that he had never been a politician. Now he's running on his record. And that's when in 2020, very exciting opportunity for us as Republicans, as conservatives, the people that want Trump to win in 2020, to get our talking points in order to be able to defend our president and say, this is what he's done. The media won't tell you what's happening and all the great things he's doing. And that's why he has to take it to the people himself by tweeting.
That is all true. We'll see how that plays out. But I wanted to drive this point home.
Okay.
I want to use one more example because it's foreign. So everybody knows the Panama Canal, right? Oh, here's, you're like, no, we don't. Check this out.
We all know the Panama. I'm like, I'm in eighth grade civics class. Okay, what are you going to ask me?
You know, no. I give people homework. So
apparently,
Teddy Roosevelt, if you ask the masses to rank presidents, he usually sits in the top 10, right? Left
bad.
And right. They love Teddy Roosevelt.
Didn't he get shot at a campaign
and
kept talking?
He kept going to work.
Hello,
like,
people get a paper cut and they cancel their events.
He's a bad man.
That man was tough.
He looked crazy, but he was a bad man.
He had some issues.
Uh-huh. So France was building the canal, couldn't finish it. We wanted to take over. At the time, Panama was part of larger Colombia. So we're trying to make negotiations. So TR sits down with Colombia. Yeah, I want to take over. Here's some money. And they said no, foreign government. So he sits back and said, well, Panama and Colombia has been having these revolts over the years, 1885. They had another one. It's like 1902. And he's like, you know, so what I could do, Panama's friendly with me, so I'm going to bring in the Panamanians and say, if I got your back and I help you, would you help me with this canal thing? And they said yes. So he literally created a revolt and propped up the coup. So Panama could take over the area, knock out Colombia, create their own independent country, bring in his people, voila.
He didn't colonize
Right. Surprise. The U.S. made this happen, and now we have it helped everybody.
Right.
Cut the navigation short. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is that was a foreign government. He interceded.
He interfered.
He put money and influence on people, and he quit
pro-quoted it all day long. You know, how many impeachment
hearings? And we're in the top 10, and now we're trying to remove a guy for a call that was on tape.
That everybody
we heard
knew.
What he said. The only clip I heard was the guy who started out the day saying, yes, it was quid pro quo. And on all the news stations, and then the guy interviewed him later in the day after 8 hours.
Where he's
saying,
like,
here's your transcript. You said, no one told you to say this. Is that true? Yes. So no one on the planet, said to you, dude, they said, yes. But you said that earlier. Where'd you get it from? I just inferred it. But then what did Trump say?
When you had a conversation with him.
He said, I was unclear. So I just to make sure.
I went to him and asked him.
What do you want? And he said,
I don't want anything, no quid pro quo.
And this is the same guy who said earlier, was it?
Right.
And this is what we're hanging all
on
of this
every
on.
Word.
Get
in
him
the
on
morning,
something else.
In the morning, we got him. This is it. And that's what all Twitter's saying. Oh, this is it. And I love when Sean Hannity will play a loop of all of those talking heads that are assuring us, this is it. We finally got him. Trump is going to leave the White House. This is it. He'll never make it. And not just for me and my own experience. I listen to a lot of left-wing radio, and I just wish all those
Who
hosts, you have to. You can't operate in a bubble. You got to know what they're doing. And every host, I would love to, some of them I have their cell number, some of them just their emails, to say, didn't you tell us in 2016 that Trump will never make it to the summer? Didn't you say the same thing in 2017? Oh, Trump will be out of here by the summer. Didn't you say that in 2018? You're saying this forever, that this is it for him. This guy is never going to make it. Well, not 2016. 2017, 18. And I'm like, they keep telling us this is it. And as I say, whenever I fill in, I have a socialist son and he lived in Arizona for a while. He's back home, but I could text Endon for days and may not get a response. But every time Trump tweeted something or the Twitterverse is going crazy saying, we got him, he would say, Mom, this is it, because he doesn't like Trump. And then, or if Trump would tweet something, Endon felt was crazy. Mom, holla at your boy. What's going on? But I could screenshot all the times that he assured me he's very intelligent, following that this was it for Trump. And when are they going to realize they still have, Rush Limbaugh says the best, they still haven't figured out who Trump is and who his voters and supporters are. And that they keep saying that Trump is releasing this Horowitz report. It's so timely they're releasing it December 9th, because this is going to help him, because he's been hurt by the impeachment hearings. Do they understand that the fundraising for Trump is just booming? Because we get it and we know that this is a witch hunt. And so I'm like, this impeachment hearing, they're trying to splash mud on him. They're trying to get him to say, all right, I can't win. I'm going to walk out like Nixon, do the Nixon walk. But that's not
Trump.
Oh,
he's not doing that.
That's not Trump.
He's got two, yeah.
And so, his supporters, so, we would lose our whatever.
Collective
if we
minds,
did.
Right?
Oh, yeah,
yes.
Yeah, it
well,
wouldn't happen.
I just say if they get him on... If they get them on something, it's just got to be something real. If they take out their emotion and find something they did
emotion.
Wrong, that's fine.
That's all the Democrats have is emotion. What are you talking
about?
I can see, really quick, I can see if Trump was caught passing a note in class. He said this on a call that he knew was recorded. He knew it was public. It was part of the record. How is that? You know, how he wasn't trying to do anything underhanded.
Well, stick with us. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more of this. Move on to the crazy debates. You're listening to Black and Right on AM 560 The Adam, The Answer, and Facebook Live.
This is Black and Right on AM 560 with John Anthony and Charles Love.
Welcome back to Black and Right. Charles here with Stephanie. We were just having a nice, hot conversation about impeachment. It's always fun talking to, you know, even when John's here, getting to talk to you Trumpers and hearing your take on stuff.
But you're
wonderful,
Trump. You're
wonderful, Trumper.
To the extent that you know, that's
to the extent that I'm anti-left.
Because when we just sat for that debate on Thursday, and I popped some popcorn, got my lemonade, and just got my notepad, just feeling like this is an assignment I have to do because I was filling in. It was Wednesday because I filled in Thursday, Friday. That's brutal to sit through.
That's when I become a Trumper. When they start
talking,
I just start moving really far to the right.
We don't have a
choice. So, you know, I didn't watch because they're crazy.
Yeah.
So you're a professional. You're one of those people who like, I watch, so you don't have to.
Well, you know, then at the end, I'm like, okay, I want to just go on Pinterest and just pin a bunch of Christmas cards or something because it's just brutal. And then I'm like, no, I go, okay, I got to pay attention. If I wasn't, you know, filling in the next day, I probably wouldn't have watched it as closely because, again, you just get some clips or whatever.
So give me a couple of minutes of the biggest highlights. Tell me what you remember.
Elizabeth is my favorite because she's currently a senator, but she keeps talking about what she's going to do when she's president. I'm thinking, well, why can't you do that now? Oh, that's right, because you guys are focusing on undoing the election from 2016. And so then the next day, the clip comes out, and the brilliant producer, Misty, got it right before we went on air, of her being asked at some form, so did your kids go to public school? Oh, yeah, my kids. Lied without batting an eye, a professional. Like, yeah, my
hey,
kids went to public school.
Hey, she was not lying. That private school her kids went to was in the public.
And you know how she said it was built by roads that were supported by the public. So technically, so it's just, again, and we know the hypocrisy on the left. Do as I say, don't do as I do. They loved Obamacare, but they would never do that themselves. The Congress didn't say, we'll try it out first. She's all about reparations. We play the clip of her. It's time for the American. I love when liberal white people, it's time for us to have a conversation about reparations. They didn't want
to
do it when we had a half white president in office. They could have done it then, but they know it's not going to pass. So now they're going, now that we got an old white guy back in the White House, we got to talk about reparations. But she's for reparations, but she's not for school choice. She's my favorite out of those goofies. I mean, none of them are capable of beating Trump, and that's the sad part, because since he came down that escalator, they didn't take him seriously. And then after he won, they had all this time to try to get some really, really good candidates. But when you've got people like Deval Patrick and Bloomberg, and now they're even talking about Michelle, because that's just saying this goofy list that we have now, we know can't beat Trump. We need a superstar to come out of somewhere.
Well, there's a problem with Warren that it's a little different from all of them. I think all of them are too far left. All of them are a little wacky. But Warren is an interesting thing. See, I work with a woman. I use her kind of as a sounding board. She's young. Mm-hmm. She's East Coast elitist.
Oh.
She's liberal. Borderline, she's left of liberal, but she's not quite left. Mm-hmm. She's left on some things. But even she's like that's her, who she likes. She's like Warren. And I told her the other day, you know, your beliefs contradict what you want. Because she's not crazy, right? She's a smart woman. Mm-hmm. So I say to her, what do you think about capitalism? She agrees with the left on their, you know, distribution of wealth, and things are unequal and we need to fix income inequality. So I went to
does
her in a different way.
Does she distribute her paycheck every
right,
other
right.
week?
Right, right. I'm sure
does she
does.
Distribute that to people on the street, the man in front of the Starbucks bugging. Here you go, begging. Here you go, baby. I'm going to, you know, spread the wealth.
So this is how I address them. I say, but this is, I want to figure out where they are. Mm-hmm. So what I say is, okay, what are your thoughts on capitalism? And she's like, she's more... I mean, you as a conservative don't think this sensible, but I understand that if you're a touchy-feely, emotional person, how this is sensible. What they're saying is, I'm not crazy. I think people should be equal, but mm-hmm. I'm not crazy enough to think capitalism doesn't create wealth and opportunity that socialism doesn't create. So she doesn't want socialism because she's like, yeah, we won't have the iPhone with that. We wouldn't have cars. I'm more like, now, we disagree, of course, now, but I still put her in a box. She says, I get that we need capitalism to get everything up, but then after that, I think we need to divvy the money. Mm-hmm. So what I don't argue with her. No, I don't argue with that. What I say is, then if that's the case, why is Elizabeth Warren your preferred candidate? Because she hates capitalism. Right. The woman wants to break up Facebook. But, it's social media.
So who's going to support
that? She wants
that
to break
right
up
now?
The banks. She's the breakup. She's basically the progressive version of TR. Right? She's like, yeah, I'm going to be a bank buster. Yeah, companies will have no more than 16 employees. Yeah, you know, it's just like she wants to just take the whole economy and just crumble it like a hard cookie.
Well, you know, and as crazy as she sounds, but she's the one of the lesser. She's in that, if you have to break it into two groups, the lesser crazy than the ones like Bernie. He keeps talking about the big gap between the rich people. He thinks billionaires shouldn't exist. So I'm thinking, so what are you going to do? Go up to people, knock on their doors and say, give me enough money where you just fall right under that billionaire status. What do you mean?
No, because then they're going to say millionaires shouldn't exist.
That's what I'm saying, because he's a millionaire.
Tenonaires.
Because he's a socialist with three houses. And then my son that's a socialist, I said, did they change the income, you know, brackets for socialists now where you can buy three houses? How is he a socialist? He may be spewing that garbage, but he's not living like that. And Buttigieg, he was so cute. He's like, I'm, you know, they listed from highest to lowest the income, what the worth of each candidate. I'm at the lowest. You know, okay, so you're bragging or whatever. So they're all trying to see who's the blackest.
That's only because your job as mayor pays less than a job as senator.
So you haven't been around long enough.
Right. Because you're 26 years old.
Wait till you get a job as a job as a senator, a U.S. senator, and you get to go there and you're on K Street and you're making those big deals.
And you're on a committee, so you get a bump.
And all of a sudden, and you get these lobbyists, all of a sudden, you come instead of being dropped off in Uber, it's the limo dropping you back off in your constituency meeting or whatever. So, yeah, it just is. None of them, and again, if they hated Trump so much, and that's what got me, the blatant disrespect for our president coming out of the mouths of those people on that stage, because the flag is a trigger for the left, not one American flag on the stage. You want to be the leader of the free world. You want to represent America, and you won't be seen with Old Glory. But how all of them were so disrespectful. Trump is not worthy. He's the most corrupt. He's a criminal and this and that. And I'm thinking, so what's taking you guys so long to get him out of office? But he's so corrupt and he's so blatant, so brazen with his corrupt and criminal behavior. Why you got to make up stuff about him? And none of them will ever put me, you, people of color, as they love to call us, but I'm not. No, I'm a black woman, a descendant of African Americans, African slaves who built this country. None of them will put us over an illegal. And that's what gets me at the end of the day. They realize that black people are waking up and less of us are voting for the Democrat Party. So illegal brown is the new black vote, and that's all they care.
What a segue. You just said less of us are voting. Now you're going to segue. Remember I said that I'm going to try to bring a different approach to some of these topics. So here's what the angle I got from the debate. But I want to quickly say, you said people of color, the only Pac I know is Tupac. So don't Pac me. I ain't no Pac. Right. You said that's not a Pac, that's a pack. Right, we don't call him Tupac, though.
I call him Tupac because that's how you spell whatever. I don't know he was
so
French. But
Tulsi Gabbard is interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting because I like the fact that she's honest and blunt, but I don't get the conservatives. I say this every time there's a debate, we've had a show, and I say, I don't get the conservatives that are cheering her. Like, anybody that's fighting against my enemy, I'm on their side. But let's not act like she's not a leftist, not a liberal,
right,
and she's the same.
She would be on our stage instead of on that
right,
stage.
But here's the thing, though. I'm looking at what they say here, and I got this from an article on The Hill, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it said, Tulsi Gabbard trashed the Democrat Party as not the party that is of, by, and for the people.
Right.
She's accused Kamala Harris of trafficking in lies and smears and innuendo, and she attacked Pete, but I'm gay, as naive.
I just want them to fight it out in like a pit of jello or something.
It goes
pay-per-view.
Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, he said she seems to be, you know, sort of filling a pretty strange lane. He said, is there a part of the party that hates the party? And the light bulb comes on, because, you know, I'm always trying to convince people, yes, there is the part of the party that hates the
and
party.
And that's what we need to appeal to?
Right, because there's you got black folks, your son's a socialist.
He's different.
But most of the black people you know hate Trump, correct?
Right.
Tell me if I'm wrong.
Unequivocally, they don't even
don't
think
like
about
Republicans.
Him. Right.
and can't stand the Democrat Party.
So they're in this weird space. But,
right. Because there's plenty of Democrats who don't like the Democrat Party. That's see, all black people.
See, Trump has all these never-Trumper Republicans, and I had been asking on social media, did Obama have any never-Obamaites in the Democrat Party? They supported everything he did. Lockstep. Fast and Furious. They shut up. They didn't say anything. They were not out there openly bashing him.
No, and not so, just that stuff. But remember how everything's pushing gay and lesbian and transgender. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was like, no gay marriage. They said, okay.
Okay, they were fine.
They were fighting for it, but we won. He's like, no, it's okay.
And they never checked.
And you said, what? They asked for reparations? Uh-huh. They asked him for reparations. He said no.
But they weren't working with whatever. So Obama was just for civil unions. And that's how he ran. And people were fine with that. But the day he went on to a Good Morning America with Robin Robinson said, I am for gay marriage. And suddenly anybody else that was for civil unions, all of a sudden you're a bigot. And they changed. The hypocrisy of it is just phenomenal. But he realized that gay money and your second time around, you're trying to win. You know, that's a whole different demographic. What, two incomes, no kids. He went after that money and just stabbed black Christian traditional value people in the back that supported him because he's the first black president. And it's just the hypocrisy of it all. So it's interesting that she would say what she said about the Democrat Party, because it is.
And she has been for a while.
Yeah, she's not shy about it, but still she's a Democrat. And I think about Never Trumpers, and I think next week I might talk about that if I have a chance, is that where are these Never Trumpers going? Who are you right. voting? When I go on Bill Kristol's page, I'm on Twitter, and these people that are Republicans, unapologetic Republicans, but they're bashing Trump, not right. saying, I like what he's doing, but he needs to work on the economy. And where they're just bashing, I'm thinking, so where's your vote going? Which one of these goofies are you going
to
vote for?
Well, I have to see where they were. But when they originally, during the campaign, they were like anybody but him. Yeah. They're like, vote for Hillary. She can't be that bad. I mean, we hate her. But vote for her, and then we'll fix the next election or something
right,
crazy.
Right.
I don't know if they still think that
they
way.
They thought it would be easier to get another Republican in. Right. If we just let Hillary get in, and then we'll work on our next candidate. Okay, so that didn't work. So now your options are somebody over there is going to give away the store, and nobody ever asked them, well, how are you going to pay for this free this? And what are you going to do to eliminate student debt? You got to lower cost of tuition, first of all, so people won't get into debt. But the people that already took out the loan and spent the money, you want the people that gave them the money just to write that off? You cannot wipe away student debt. But they promise all this pie in the sky. We're going to do this. It's going to be free. It's going to be amazing. And nobody ever asked them, excuse me, how are we going to pay for that? You know, and, it's on my website. No, I want to know how are we going
to
do this.
And so, and you go to the website, there's just a guy shrugging.
Like, mm-hmm. you know, empty pockets. You know, we'll get it from the greedy. What did Elizabeth kept calling? She's my favorite star tonight. She kept calling them freeloading billionaires. I'm like, how many jobs have you created, Liz?
Right.
You know, not
these
one.
Billionaires who own all these companies right. and have all these employees, but they're freeloading. But, you know, the Never Trumpers are similar to the elitist leftists, right? So they're elitists. So what they're saying when they tell you that is really bad, not because whether you like or dislike Trump, because what they're saying is, let Hillary, Elizabeth Warren, whomever win, let them win because it's going to be bad for the economy short term.
And everybody will see what a bad thing
But what they're
is.
Saying is, I'm fine either way.
Right, because they got
I'm 60 and I made my money.
Right,
so
and it's secure.
They take most of my money, it'll hurt, blah, blah. And then after I'll get over it. But the people like us who can't afford that kind of a hit.
Like Pritzker wanting rich people to pay their fair share, because this stuff is capital gains. It's somewhere off of an island. And it's just in
he inherited it.
Right, so
he'll
take the toilets out of his house just to prove and turn it into a medieval castle without toilets. He'll do that to me. He knows what to do. He's paying enough people to make sure he doesn't have to pay. But it's for everybody else. I'm going to do what people do when they were co-hosting me. They would say, we have a caller. Are you going to take the
and
caller?
And look, I like the caller. You want to talk to
him?
Because this caller is one of the few people who in the Venn diagram falls between black and white letters, listeners.
Listener, and me.
And Stephanie Falls, we have Jim from South Elgin. Jim, how are you?
Good, guys. How are you? I've turned on the stream, and so you guys were being gypped here, I guess, for the first hour.
Yeah.
But anyways... You
found us.
That's right. Well, we got to talk to my good friends here. You know, the thing is, I heard these Kim Fox ads.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And she's openly campaigning against the FOP and all this other junk. I mean, what a bunch of garbage.
You know, that's crazy.
And Trump. Don't forget Trump.
Everybody.
That's right.
Everything bad in Chicago is because of Trump.
Then she's bragging on social media, all the people endorsing her, the mayor. County, but I mean, everybody's endorsing
all the corrupt people love
doubling
me.
Doubling down.
Everybody who's
right.
corrupt loves
right.
me.
That's crazy.
Well, that's why Illinois circuit's got Democratitis.
Is there a cure for that? You got a cream for that, Jim? Because we got.
Well, it's called the Trump train. I'm afraid to
and
say.
We got choo choo coming through. But
it says on the board. You want to talk about the Charlie Kirk talk?
Oh Oh, yeah.
Well, I went there last night, too, but he wasn't sure if that would be relevant. But it was pretty good. There was about 300 people there, and he had a bunch of young people there, kids in high school and college.
Young people. You know, he is, he's a big draw. People love him. He's like a superstar, like Justin Bieber of the conservative movement. Him and Ben Shapiro, they fill up a room because young people, even people that aren't Republicans, love to listen to what they have to say. So so that's what we need to do because, you know, they start indoctrinating the left when they're in preschool. So we need young people to get fired up about conservative issues. So it was a good event.
They had like they have 1,500 chapters now through all the various colleges.
Wow. So, what's the name of his group again?
Turning Point USA.
Thanks for turning point. I couldn't have had a blank there.
It's really good. So
an opportunity.
Thanks for listening to us and hanging out.
I'm glad that Jim took a time off because his weekends are very busy, Charles. He calls into liberal shows and he just lets them have it.
I turn one on randomly. I'm like, that sounds like Jim.
He'll give Ricky Hinden for his money. He doesn't care. And
I'm going to call into our mutual friend Ricky Hinden later on, and then
he's like the white Berlon.
Yeah, he did. They will call in, and they know that as soon as they hang up, that's when all the callers get mad. Why you let Jim talk? Why did you let him call in? Whatever. But we need more people to be fearless and take our message to liberal radio. Because
kill them with kindness. That's what I say.
You're armed with facts and not emotions, and that's how you take them down. Thanks, Jim. It's always good to hear from you.
Thank you, Doug.
But yeah, so did you hear, let me ask you this, because I, again, ignored the debate because I already know, but, you know, for the listener, maybe I missed something.
Who do you think's going to win?
I don't want to eliminate somebody who might have something good to say. Uh-huh. So did they say anything? Democrats, we know they're all about feeling. They're always talking about Trump is bad, which is fine. He's the opposition. There's nothing wrong with that. Uh-huh. And they said, we need somebody who's going to build bridges. So what kind of bridges do they build? They like bridges.
Oh.
Because what I usually hear is Trump is divisive. We need somebody who's inclusive. And then they exclude everybody who disagrees with them.
They only love
people. So what did you hear that was inclusive?
Well, they didn't. You know, that's my notes were, I said, did they speak to the regular average, everyday, hardworking American? Did they say that we're going to lower your taxes? Did they say we're going to get rid of a lot of these regulations that are keeping people from hiring? And because Trump came in and did that. And they just promised more of the failure, Biden is bragging about that he's had something to do with Obamacare, which is horrible and it ruined health care. I didn't feel like they, as they say, what did you bring it to me? Whereas when you're in a room with Trump and he's talking about putting Americans first and putting America first and our interest and not trying to placate to certain groups of people that are here literally stealing the legacy from Black Americans. I didn't hear that from any of them. I didn't hear any solution, nothing to motivate me, nothing to get me excited about this person, as Democrats love to use this word, that they care about us because they want politicians that care about them.
I don't
want them to care about the economy and the borders and all that stuff. They don't have to care about me driving around the suburbs. I used to say minivan. Now I don't have a minivan anymore, but I don't want that. I don't need someone to care about me. They have to put America first and our interests first as a group. And it's the same old things with Democrats. The hypocrisy is do as I say. I will never live like that in my real world. That's good for you peasants, but it's not good for me. So it's the same old soup, just reheated.
Well, you know what I think? I think that they realize that they're in the middle and they're trying to play this the best way they can. And they realize that there's enough people who don't like Trump that gets them closer than they should be just out of dislike. So they're within shooting distance.
Right.
But then they also know that's the plus side for them. The downside is they know that there's only a certain number of people who will vote against something. You have to give them something to vote for.
Right.
And the only thing they have, the people who would openly vote for that are really passionate about that. But there's a small number of people. The average person does not want the government to take over everything. Right? Because if you're the typical black, look at the groups that typically vote for Democrats. So the black voters don't trust, they're skeptical of government. Mm-hmm. So while they want the government to do what they're supposed to do and fix some things, they're like, I'm leery of you, so having more of you ain't good.
Right.
Right? And then you got these middle class and upper middle class Jews as a group, right? And most of my close friends who are Jewish that I talk to on a regular basis are left-leaning, but they're not crazy, right? Mm-hmm. So they hate Trump. They're like this black person. They hate Trump, don't like Republicans. But they're like, Elizabeth Warren, crazy. I own a business. I don't want to give away all my money.
Right.
And they'll say, Corey's this. And I'm a little getting weary of the whole it's the white man's fault and the whole push the LGBT thing or focus on this only or give me no substance. I want some substance, too. So those people are looking for something like, I like that. I'm with you on the hate Trump thing. So what are you going to do? And they have nothing. So they're like, well, if we're this close because of the Trump dislike, if I can just make up the difference with like making up lies about them,
doing this,
I don't have to come up with a thing because I really got nothing.
Right.
All I got is the government would take over everything. And for the people
like,
who
don't
want
worry
that,
about it.
They
will
crawl over broken glass to get there.
To that, right.
But it's like 1% of the population.
Right. And,
I mean, they make it think, make us think it's high. People don't fall for it. There is no majority of people that are like, you know what?
Taking
all my money sounds pretty
right.
good.
And you know, what gets me, especially people in Illinois, deep blue, broken Illinois, and people that just feel like, I don't mind paying more taxes. As if this is a good, they've been a good steward of our money. You know they're wasting the money. You know that the pensions aren't funded. You know the kids in Chicago are going to fail in schools. But so you think that this is such a great decision that, yeah, I don't mind. I don't pay enough taxes. But you never get those people writing extra money over the check when they write their taxes at the end of the year. You know what? I need to give them $1,000 more because it's really, you know, they're doing such a good job. And when they talk about taxing the rich, and I call it in Illinois, they keep talking about this progressive fair tax. I call it F-A-R-E. It's a fee for being rich and successful, they act as if that money, when they confiscate all the money from the millionaires and billionaires, which are not going to stay put and allow them to tax them, they act as if somehow that's going to translate to more money in my pocket as a middle class average. No, they're going to take that money, spend it, and then still come back for my money. And so I'm so adamant about everybody that's listening. It's so important next November, changing the Constitution from a flat tax in Illinois to a progressive tax, that would be horrible. And I want to be part of like groups that are out at train stations handing out flyers, wearing T-shirts. We cannot let them change the Constitution because I know no one's naive enough to believe, and I would love to have Democrats call in, please do, to believe, to trust J.B. Pritzker and that group of people that, oh, we're just going to come for the millionaires. We're just changing the Constitution, and we're not going to really use it against anybody. We're just going to change it just to get, no.
Once
don't.
They open the floodgates.
That's it. That's how you boil a frog. That's like every analogy we can come up with camel's nose in the tent, all that stuff. We know we been, and that's what blows me away. People our age, Charles, they look responsible and they're able to feed themselves and go to and from work. And you don't see this coming? Well, you've been in Illinois how long? Your whole life? And you trust these people down in Springfield?
I got another analogy for you, Lucy and the football.
Oh, yeah, every time.
Maybe we're working our way to a Democrat. Gary from Mundelein wants to tell us his walk-away moment. Gary, okay. Welcome to Black and Right.
Mm. Hi, how are you guys?
Fantastic. How are
awesome.
You?
I'm doing very good. Yeah, it was about 1973. I was listening to Bill Buckley on Firing Line. I think it was on WTTW. And listening to him, I thought, this man is a very intelligent person, and he seems to have ideas that are less centered on government. And I think it was 76 when Ronald Reagan first ran for president, or I should say when he was the candidate for, that's when I first voted for Republican. And I never really looked back.
Oh, mm-hmm.
The idea that the government is the solution to everything really dispelled my idea from the Democrats. And they were turning farther and farther away from, you know, children and becoming more the party of abortion.
So, Gary, we just got a few seconds here, but give me your idea from a regular guy who just sees what's going on. What can we do to get other people to understand that our freedom can't come from the government?
I don't know if it's possible to talk to these people. They're so broken and so hateful that it'll be their children that'll need the conversion.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Gary, for the call, and keep listening.
You too. God bless.
I want to say that, first I got to make sure before we hit the break that I tell you that keep watching on Facebook, but we're going to be live on the radio at 2 o'clock.
Organic
so,
awesome. And
you know,
don't forget the phone number. You want to join this conversation.
Yeah,
join awesome.
The conversation, 312-642-5600. Now, we're going to keep on talking about what's been in the news. So, and on the next segment, we're probably going to top the hour on either Kanye or Kaepernick. One of the K's. I haven't figured out yet, but we'll start off
spin
with one
wheel.
Of those.
Spin the wheel.
Yeah,
one
stick with us. Switch over to the radio. Listen on both. Let's see what that sounds like in stereo. You're listening to Black and Right on Facebook Live and soon AM 560, The Answer.